morning. Today is Thursday, January the 5th. Joining us yet again, the guy who covers for the guy who doesn't show up, Billy Hansel.
Hey, thank you.
Have you seen the sheriff lately?
Yes, I've seen the sheriff.
He's enjoying
some time with the family right now, and so he's.
Was it another family?
His family.
Last month and the month before?
His family.
Okay.
Yes.
Catching up for lost time.
Absolutely.
All right. Now that one I understand.
He's a busy man. A lot on his schedule.
Yeah. Big family. Our quote this morning comes from Andre Gide. Believe those who are seeking the truth. Doubt those who find it. Hey, you got new guys on the supervisors there. You know, might be applicable for you.
Okay. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Do you guys have one of those community oversight committee things?
Different terms
in different areas?
Yeah, you know, the board, we don't have one right now. There was one in the past, and so the board put one together, and I guess interest has kind of fallen away, and so they are no longer meeting.
Does that mean you're doing a good job?
I think we're doing a great job, yeah. And so, you know, I think we're pretty transparent, and when people have complaints, we have a complaint process, and I think being transparent, and I think it builds the trust of the public, and, you know, it's not meaning that we don't do everything right all the time, but we're able to admit our mistakes and trying to fix things as we as things come up.
I hate that word.
Mistake?
No, transparent.
Oh, transparency.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well,
you see through that. That implies there's nothing there. If you can see through it, right? No guts.
That's true.
Well,
I think you see that there's no. Yeah, we're not trying to cloak anything. I think is what that means.
Oh, ooh, cloak, ooh. Fashion on a Thursday morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it too early?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, worst year for police officer shootings and deaths.
Yeah, I think it's unprecedented across the nation and even in our state. It just seems like. You know, there's a target on law enforcement and, you know, here we are the peace officers. We're the people that come in there and yet people see us, I guess, not all people, but some people see us as the enemy and, have taken, you know, liberties at trying to kill law enforcement officers. It's, absolute tragedy.
Have you guys done anything different? Are you trying to sensitize? You know, I mean, if there's the Wild West, Humboldt County certainly is there with all the goofiness in the hills and stuff.
Absolutely. We talk about this. We talk about officer safety. We train for it. And we're trying to instill that sense with our deputies and our sergeants to take things slower and to not rush into anything because you really, really don't know what every call could bring. And so you could do everything right and still, you know, put yourself in jeopardy.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Undersheriff for Humboldt County, Billy Hansel. Looking at the concept of resident deputy, it seems so simple.
Yeah.
So logical, so easy. why did it disappear? You got the fellow now in Oreck. You got Shelter Cove, Garberville.
We have resident deputy positions in Shelter Cove, Garberville, Orleans, Bridgeville, and Oreck. Right now we only have
a lot of them in Eureka and Fortuna too.
We only have actually two resident deputy positions filled right now, and it has to do with funding and staffing. And you're right; it seems so simple. This is the community policing model that we all want to get back to. Is having deputies be involved in the communities and be approachable and to dealing with some of these issues, whether they're minor or major issues. You know, it's important that they are there and that they can deal with these. You know, I think the worst thing that can happen is having a rotating deputy that comes in and out, that's unfamiliar with the area, to come in and try to do law enforcement. Just because
they're so rural?
Just because they're so rural and they have unique aspects to them, and then just, you know, the geography and the people and everything else is just it's different, and so it's good to have one person that's there relating to those communities every week, and so that's the ideal thing. So we're hoping, you know, 2017 will be the year that we get to full staffing, and a lot of people say it's a pipe dream because we've never been there. But that is the key to filling all the resident deputy positions is having full staffing.
Is the person for these positions the normal cop, or is it somebody who's a little bit different? Because it seems, even if we forget about the funding for a moment,
yeah,
the personality
absolutely
is kind of tough to come by also.
Yeah, you have to have the right personality, and that's someone who is who's very patient, who is people-oriented, that can sit down and have a cup of coffee and discuss things, because that's really what people want in their community cops, is they want to, you know, for them to come down to the station and to discuss a neighborhood complaint and for them to actually troubleshoot it and for them to realize the history and some of the avenues. And we give a lot of leeway to our resident deputies to try and be unconventional with how they deal with things. And a lot of juvenile problems that occur out in these areas, they deal with it themselves, you know. They have their own juvenile diversion programs where, you know, someone's, you know, got caught for vandalism and they will work with the parents to help fix the problem or do some community service. And that way it doesn't impact the juvenile justice system. And
are these guys, I presume they're guys most times, do they have their own office, or are they working out of home or out of the vehicle, which I would think would be a little bit more challenging?
Yeah, it all depends on where. Each of the areas are different. You know, up in Oreck, we have teamed up with National Park, so they have the beautiful building there in Oreck, and so we actually are able to get an office out of their building. But usually the office for the resident deputy is their patrol car. You know, they have mobile.
So it's not like an empty storefront or something.
It isn't right now, okay. Because, you know, there's always a cost that is associated with that. And ideally that would be great if we had a, you know, one room storefront where they can come in. But it's just, that's not the reality. You know, in Shelter Cove, they've offered you know, a place at their fire station. And Bridgeville has, you know, we have places at the elementary school. Caltrans has facilities for us. But mostly we want our guys to be out and about and accessible.
A meeting place is what I was thinking,
yeah.
More than anything. Neutral turf.
Yeah. You know, the two places that have worked out very, very well is our substation in Willow Creek, and we call it the Trinity River Division, and also Garberville. You know, it's small stations where people come in and just sit down and talk with the sergeants and just talk about some of those issues relating to the community. And it's you know, we have coffee there, and we have the ability to sit down and just discuss some of this stuff. And that's, you know, they want that accessibility. The old timers, so to speak, you know, they don't want to call someone on the phone. They want to just walk down and have a conversation with the local sheriff.
Then you've got presence. You know, Garberville certainly is one that could use some presence.
Right.
Everybody agrees with to that. So to have the car, the building, maybe the flag flying.
Yeah.
You know, things that, that indicate law enforcement may not be there, but we're in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. And I think it is good. It is good that we have our areas where that is our ground and that people know where to go and that we are flying the flag. So
are these guys mini sheriffs?
They are. You know,
I would think that would be almost a training for under sheriff or for senior positions is to be out there and let's see how you do with a little bit of autonomy.
Absolutely. They are running, you know, their sheriff's departments on their own. We have direction from us, from the sheriff, myself, and the patrol captains about where to go. And we have our policy and procedures, but they are problem solvers. They are the representative of the sheriff. When they think about the sheriff in Southern Humboldt, they think about Sergeant Taylor. When they think of the sheriff.
And they don't have the responsibility of budget,
no,
and personnel, and all the things that grind you guys down.
That's right.
Thank you. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Undersheriff Bill Hansel. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Billy, how do you figure out, I guess priority is the word.
Yeah.
You guys have got so many dollars and so many bodies.
Right.
It would seem, I think, to those, if it's just a theoretical exercise in a laboratory setting, that you would want to have somebody in the corners and then progressively get more and more concentrated as you get towards population centers.
That's true.
Regarding law enforcement and public safety. Okay. I'm still amazed that the volunteer fire departments are able to function because nobody's working there. Because if they were working there, they'd have more people there. And yeah, that model is an intriguing one for me also. So when you're looking at the resident deputies who... I don't know if you could get any further. I guess you could have the wave front division, somebody right on the ocean,
right,
to cover that side of the county. You're really talking about the five furthest areas.
That's right.
That we've got. How do you go, now we need another guy in McKinleyville?
Right. Yeah, when we see crime going up in McKinleyville, when we see crime going up in Myrtletown and the greater Eureka area, excuse me, you know, it's... We can't help but think we need to put another deputy in these areas. You know, we talk about, you know, the number one crime deterrence, having a patrol deputy in the area looking and being that deterrent, that visual deterrent. But we also understand we got to weigh this balance because, you know, if there's a crime that occurs in Shelter Cove, the nearest deputy is in Garberville Redway and they have to, you know, and hopefully if they're not transporting someone to Eureka. And that's the worst case scenario is that someone's transporting, you know, someone to Eureka, and then another deputy is dealing with a crime in Red Crest, and now we're totally out of position, and so we're gonna have to send a main station deputy, and now it's an hour and a half drive to Shelter Cove. So the people of Shelter Cove have had a resident deputy in the past. It is in the plans to put a resident deputy there, and hopefully by the end of you know, October 2017, we're hoping to get all of our people trained and at least one sent out there because they need their resident deputy out there. They want someone out there to deal with the crimes and to be accessible and to have that person there when that crime occurs. And then You know, they're only there 40 hours a week, but, you know, we'll put them there, you know, in the time where, you know, patrolling when there's likely crime. And then we're able to call them out if they're living there and to take care of some of the crimes that may occur. And it's going to be a lot closer than an hour and a half from Eureka.
The ideal resident deputy is somebody who lives there.
Yes.
And that's not a redundancy saying that, because there is no requirement for a resident deputy to live in those jurisdictions. It may be encouraged.
Yes, we encourage.
But is it a requirement?
We're going to make it a requirement to live in these areas, and Shelter Cove and Orleans, because that is, and we've worked it out with the Sheriff's Association that we will, you know, pay an extra stipend for people that are living in these areas, because we recognize the burden that it puts on them or the family, but it is, that's how it works the best, is that if there is a problem that happens after hours, then we're able to call a resident deputy to go and deal with that problem, because they know they've been trying to deal with something, and because they live in that community, they're going to be able to respond a lot closer. And that's how it's worked in the past. The model is a good model, and they're able to oftentimes deal with situations because they develop those relationships with people. And, you know, and oftentimes it takes someone that is a part of the community to talk someone into handcuffs when they've made a mistake, when they've committed a crime. And
if your kids are going to school together.
Yes, and they're able to do
a little bit easier,
able to do that. So
is there a special skill set or requirement for these positions? I mean, is it an internal assignment, or can you recruit for this? Because I would think it's a different breed of cat.
Oh, it is.
Not a cop, but a different breed who...
You know, in the past, several years ago, we hired people for these specific positions, and then once they get through the academy and once they get the training, then they're put into, you know, Hoopaw or Southern Humboldt, Shelter Cove. And we don't think that's a very good model today, because we want a mature deputy sheriff.
Their edges are razor sharp because they're coming out of the academy instead of dulled with experience a little bit.
Well, yeah, because you want to know what things to take on and what not to take on. And sometimes it's best just to walk away from a situation and to regroup and to get more resources than to take something on when it's not necessary, when you can deal with it the next morning when someone's calmed down. You know, when there's a public safety emergency and there's life in jeopardy, we have to act. Absolutely. Sometimes it's just, you know, someone is blowing off steam, and sometimes we're able to walk away and then in the morning approach it when someone may be sober or... we might be able to deal with it. And that's the maturity that we want to see from a resident deputy. And that you get with seasoning and with years of experience. And that's what we see right now.
Code enforcement is going to be a significant issue, I think, in 2017. Yeah, I'm next to homeless and crazy in public. I think that's going to be the issue for this year.
I agree with you.
So now we've got these folks in the areas where code enforcement is going to be the biggest issue, right?
Right.
Biggest change. Bridgeville, Shelter Cove, Garberville, Orleans. Is there any opportunity to partner up?
Yes.
And do something so that either there's a little bit more critical mass, or maybe at least they have an office?
Yes. Well, you know, I'm not sure about the office, but we do already team up with code enforcement in the county, and that... And they only have two code enforcement officers. But the thing is, they rely on our expertise and we rely on their expertise. So oftentimes we identify something and then we work with them to try and clean up a problem. You know, one of the big problems right now is abandoned vehicles. You know, Southern Humboldt, Eastern Humboldt, people abandon vehicles on private property and then push them out in the street and they want the sheriff to deal with them. And we have a limited budget on that. And so we're going to be tapping into Measure Z funds, working with code enforcement, working with the local tow company to try and take care of this specific problem. And so we're working with code enforcement on those kind of things. But as far as the illegal structures and some of the illegal activity out in these rural areas, our resident deputies will definitely work with code enforcement to take care of those.
It's 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. Final segment of this morning with Billy Hansel. Looking down the road, what do you see with resident deputies? Do you, if funding wasn't an issue, would you like to see two or three?
Yeah.
So, is it? Is there a potential there for that? And I don't know where the marijuana money is going to go, but I would tend to think that it ought to be going towards you guys and towards code enforcement. Not into the general fund, maybe a little bit towards, I guess, streets. But this isn't an opportunity to expand all these various programs. I would think that it's got to go to keeping everybody in line.
Yeah, I think so. You know, because you see in the, all the rural parts of the county, it's just really literally blowing up with marijuana grows. And, you know, I hear from county planning that, you know, we have in the area of, 2,000 to 3,000 permits in process right now throughout the county. So that's roughly about 25% of the county marijuana grows are trying to become legitimate. And but we have these areas that are usually just open space and used for timber production or cattle ranching are now big business. And we have 3/4 of them that are criminal enterprises. We need more law enforcement out in these rural areas. So ideally, I would love to see more more funding for our resident deputy programs.
Have any of the supervisors talked to you guys about once this is up and running, the goofy $1, $2, $3 a foot thing?
Yeah,
that you're going to get. We are designating this percentage estimate, whatever it is. Are they talking to you about this stuff, or are you just kind of out there swinging, waiting for the next budget cycle to see what happens?
Yes, we're waiting for that because, you know, the revenue projections are going to be, you know, roughly what Measure Z brings in, you know, $7 million a year additionally. And so we could use that money, but there hasn't been any talk as far as how much of that pie we are going to get.
Pie. Had to leave it on food, didn't you?
I love pie.
I know. Blueberry?
I'm an apple pie kind of guy.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Traditionalist.
With ice cream.
Yeah. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone else. See you then.